as always, I'm excited to share the word of the Lord with my church family. And tonight we're going to be looking in the book of Philippians. We're going to be looking in Philippians chapter 1. And I will be using the CSB version, the Pew version. So if you have that, it's going to be on page 1040, Philippians chapter 1. And we're really just going to be looking at the introduction of this whole letter, looking at verses 1 through 11. And it's an interesting passage to choose because when we read through it, you'll hear that it's very simple. When you read it at front face, it doesn't sound like there's a lot going on here. And it really is a simple message for us today, but I wanted to share it because I just want to encourage my church family, and I want us to be encouraged together to know that we need to encourage each other. And that's something that we're going to see in this passage as a main idea, that Paul, he is thanking the Philippian church for their service, for the work that they've done in the gospel with him. And he's recognizing their partnership. He's recognizing to them that this isn't something that he's done on his own. This is something that they have done together, that they have specifically and uniquely been a part of. And we're going to see a message for us today as to Talitha Baptist Church that God's people must encourage each other, and we must work together to fulfill the gospel, the great commission that God has called us to. So I'll read verses 1 through 11, and I'll say a prayer, and then we can walk through this passage together. Starting in verse 1, Paul says, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Indeed, it is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you may approve the things that are superior and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise to God." Pray with me. Oh Lord, thank you for this passage. Philippians here, this introduction to this letter. I pray that as we read and see Paul encourage this church, that we would be encouraged to encourage one another, Lord, and to be reminded that we're all in this together. We're in this fight together. We're in this gospel together, and we're in this commission together that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever worked at a job where you felt underappreciated? Most of us would say yes, we've probably felt that at some point. Your boss or your manager or your coworkers would never let you know that they were thankful for the work that you were doing. If you have worked at a place like this, then you know how difficult it can be to keep pressing on in the job that you've been given. You know how important it is to feel like you're on a team, and when gratitude and teamwork aren't a part of your work environment, you lose momentum. You lose the strength to keep pushing forward. You lose the drive to keep working hard. Or maybe you worked a job where teamwork just wasn't a mindset with your coworkers. You worked a job where you were left alone to carry the bulk of the weight. You didn't have a helpful team surrounding you, helping you to complete the goals of the job that your team supposedly had been given. If you've experienced this, then you know how difficult of a workplace this can be. You're not the only ones to understand the importance of this. Paul himself in this passage, the author of Philippians here and the apostle to Jesus, he understood this. And he understood it so much that he offers the entire beginning of this letter thanking the Philippian church for their hard work and for their partnership in the gospel. He thanks them for their work and their efforts and their dedication to the gospel and their dedication and commitment to God's kingdom being advanced. And this attitude, it is vital for the life of the church. For the church to be successful, we must have this with one another. We must lift one another up. We must let each other know how everyone has been a blessing to us. And God expects us to work together for the sake of the gospel. And if these things are not present among us, the drive to press on in faith is going to lack more and more with every passing day. So we see here a main point up front in these first couple of verses. We have a point from Paul, and it is simple, and it is this. Give thanks to those serving with you. Give thanks to those serving with you. He says here, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So Paul's taking a moment here and he's just remembering. He's just reflecting on the work of this church, and he reflects on what this church has done, not only for him, but most importantly, for the gospel. He takes time, and I can imagine that as he's writing this, he's thinking of each person, each friendship, each blessing, all the hard work done for the gospel that he is thankful for. He's thinking of those who took time to visit sick people when they were in need, who took time to take a meal to someone when they were in need, who took time to work in the nursery or work with the children or greet guests or teach Sunday school. He's thinking about these people and he's thinking about the work that they've done. And he takes time out of his day to just say, thank you. Thank you for this service. Thank you for participating in this with me. Thank you for being a part of God's work. Thank you for loving God and loving people and wanting people to be saved. Thank you. We see here too that Paul prays for them. And not only does he just pray for them, but he prays for them with joy in his heart. He takes time to get on his knees before God and joyfully go to God and say, I'm thankful for these people. I have joy in my heart because of these people, and I want to joyfully pray for them right now. I think it's important, too, that we remember where Paul is writing this from. He's in prison. This is one of the prison epistles, one of the five. And he is in prison and not like American prison system that can be comfortable and three meals a day and a pillow. Like, this is a hole in the ground. And rather than thinking of himself, rather than taking the time to ask for things for himself, he's thanking his church family. He's going to God with joy in his heart to pray for them, to care for them, to encourage them so that God's kingdom can continue to be advanced. Paul, he recognizes that they are all working to fulfill the Great Commission together. He's recognizing that this work that's been done, it's not done because of him. It's ultimately done because of the work of Christ, but it's done because Christ has saved a multitude of people who are working together to advance his kingdom. And so up front in these first couple of verses, there are three things that we can learn. Number one, remember what your church family has done for you. Take time in your day to think about the service that we have done together. Take time in your day to think about individuals who have blessed you, to think about the ones who have served you, who have brought you a meal when you were in need, or who helped meet a need that you had. Take time in your day to think about them. And when you think about them, go out of your way to thank them for what they've done. Encourage them for their good work, for loving you, for loving this church, for loving God, for loving the gospel and loving people. Number two, pray for your church family and pray for them joyfully. Don't treat that as a burden, but God has given us prayer as a blessing. He's given that to us as a gift. We get to go directly to the God of this universe and pray for our church family. And God cares about the things that we pray for. We should do this joyfully. When you read through your prayer list or when you hear of a need in our church and or a sickness that's going on, any kind of prayer request, take it seriously. Go to God with joy, with the opportunity to pray for this. Number three, work together to fulfill the gospel. We work together to fulfill the gospel. We are the body of Christ. Talitha Baptist Church represents the body of Christ. We're not the hand of Christ. We're not the foot of Christ. We're not the arm of Christ. We are the body. It represents unity. It represents working together to fulfill this commission that he's called us to. Many people probably know the story of one of the greatest upsets in sports history. The United States faced off against the Soviets in hockey during the 1980 Olympics. And this so-called team was called the Miracle on Ice. There's actually a movie about this, a Disney movie that's very good. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. And this so-called Miracle on Ice, it was more than just an Olympic upset. For many Americans, it was this sort of ideological victory in the Cold War. And it was as meaningful to them as the Berlin airlift or the Apollo moon landing. And this upset came at a favorable time for the American people. President Jimmy Carter, he had just announced that the United States was going to boycott the 1980 Summer Games in Moscow because of the Soviet invasion in Afghanistan. And the Americans, faced with this major recession, they were in dire need of something to celebrate, something to bring us all together. And after the game, after the U.S. won, President Carter, he called the players to congratulate them, and there were millions of Americans that spent that Friday night in celebration of this triumph. This team has been called one of the greatest teams of all time. Do you think that this team could have been this successful without teamwork? Could they have been this successful if they had a leader who thought that he could do it all himself? Could they have won without supporting each other? Without encouraging each other, thanking each other, working together, taking time to figure out who had what strengths and who had what weaknesses, and through learning that, how they could come together as the best team possible to defeat the greatest enemy possible. They could not have done this without teamwork. And that's what Paul is telling us about this church, about church in general. The body of Christ is a team. We fulfill the commission together. We have a second point in this passage, and it's that Jesus will carry the body of Christ through together until the end. He continues on. He says, I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Indeed, it is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. So we have a very simple idea that Paul gives us, and it's that Christ will hold his people together until the day he returns. Paul is encouraging the Philippian church not to worry, not to let the stress of this world get at you. Don't let the stress of this world come and make you weary. Focus on Christ. Focus on the gospel together. Encourage each other. The power of Christ will hold you firm. And Paul also again makes clear that this gospel work is a partnership. It's the second time in like seven verses that he's making this clear. This is a partnership. It is not an individual work. So for us today, for Talitha Baptist Church, we can trust in the power of Christ to carry this church through until the very end. I think we would all say that Talitha is in a season of blessings. The Lord has blessed us greatly, and we should be thankful for that, and we should worship him for his grace in that favor. We're talking about building a new building. We're growing. There's a lot of success that this church is having for God's kingdom. It would be foolish of us to think that that's guaranteed forever. It's not. We don't know what seasons the future holds. If we read through the Talitha history book, we can see that there have been difficult seasons in the past. We're not immune to that just because we're in a season of blessings now. And if the worst case were to happen, and this church had to start meeting under a tree like some churches do in Africa, the power of Christ would hold us together. trust in the power to hold us through until the very end. This church is not a building. This church is not money. This church is us. This church is the saving power of Jesus Christ holding us together. It is unity. And another thing Paul makes clear is that the Great Commission is not an individual commission. This Great Commission was given to all of us together. When Jesus met with his disciples, the 11, before he ascended into heaven, he told them, go into the world, all of the world, making disciples, baptizing them, teaching them everything that I have commanded you. Jesus didn't give that command to Peter by himself. He didn't give that command to John by himself. He gave it to all of them to do together. This command is for all of us. There's this idea that I've talked about before. I think I talked about this when I preached last Sunday morning, this idea I call lone wolf Christianity. It's this idea that Christians sometimes have where they don't need this. They don't need church. They can just sort of go through life on their own. And they can be a Christian alone. They don't want to have to put the effort in to get together with God's people. But if you try to navigate through the Christian life by yourself, you will fail every single day. God designed this to be this, to meet together, to be the body, to have unity. I'm not a huge superhero fan. I enjoy the movies. I wasn't super into the comics. I know there's a lot of people who are into that. But one thing I always did enjoy was Marvel's The Avengers, those series that came out. They finished up with the last one of those. Came out back in April. And you have lots of different superheroes, Iron Man, Captain America, the Hulk, Thor, lots of comic book characters that have been around for decades now. There's a huge lesson about teamwork that you might not have paid attention to when you watch these movies or if you read these comics. And it's not just teamwork, but it's the value of the team itself. And the Avengers lesson is that one is better than one. And what I mean by that is that one team is better than one person. It is universally different from five people versus one person, right? A group of five can probably accomplish more than one person alone, but it's when those five people work together as a team, that's when something special happens. The Christian life is not meant to be navigated through alone. God designed his people to work together at this thing, and if we try to do it by ourselves, we will fail. We won't only fail ourselves, but we will fail him. Number three, a final point to take from this passage is that God's people must value the spiritual growth of God's people. We must care about each other's spiritual growth. Paul says, "For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you may approve the things that are superior and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus to the glory and praise of God." It's very simple what Paul is doing here. He is praying for the Philippian church to grow. He's going to God, and he's going to God joyfully, and he's saying, "God, I pray that these believers would grow. I pray that they would grow in knowledge. I pray that they would grow in faith. I pray that they would grow in love for one another, in love for your gospel, and love for the lost. I pray that every day they are becoming better Christians than they were the day before." He's praying for them to grow. And today, for us, for Talitha Baptist Church, we should pray for our fellow church members to grow. This should be important to us. This should be like a top prayer list item for us, is that all of us together collectively, we are growing in our faith in Christ. We're growing in our understanding about who Jesus is and what he actually accomplished for us on the cross. We're growing in our faith that no matter what happens in this world, how bad it can be, how hard it can be, that power will hold us together. Laura and I are both very interested in the royal family. Laura was more so than I, but she kind of got me into it a little bit. And we enjoy watching documentaries. We enjoy watching shows about them. I'll come home sometimes and Laura, she'll just have a documentary going on about the Queen. I mean, the Queen is selling their currency back in Canada, so it makes sense that she'd have more investment in it than I do. But I do enjoy it too, and we enjoy learning the history about the family. We enjoy learning about how the monarchy has worked over the years and how it's changed today. And the story of this family is so interesting to learn about. The royal family has always trained up young royals and how to be just that, royals. And they do this because it matters to them that the royal family represents who they believe they have been called to be. They are not average people. They are not normal people in any way. They look different from the world. I don't remember any other marriages than the last one that happened, but if you watch one of these royal weddings, like, you can tell that this is another world for them. They look different. Everything is different for them. They look different from the world. And in the same way, Christians should not be average. Christians should not be normal. We should not look like the world. And with each passing day in our faith, we must continue to grow and grow and grow in looking more like Christ and less like the world. And Paul, he is valuing Christians and their faith and their growth and growing to look like Jesus. So he prays for them. He prays for them joyfully. He prays for their growth. And we too, we should pray for fellow believers to grow together. I talked about this a little bit with our youth in Sunday school today. We talked about a word, sanctification. I'm sure you guys have heard that word. It's talked about in the book of Romans. And sanctification is just that. It is the growth of the Christian. It's us as believers looking more and more like Christ every day. And when I was in college, I took a Bible class on Romans. And a big portion of that class was focusing on justification and sanctification. And my professor gave a really good example of what sanctification is like. And he said, remember when you were young, when you were a child and it would snow? If you grew up here, you probably might not be able to relate to this illustration. But it would snow, and if it was a big snow, you got a good amount. You'd go outside and the snow was so deep, it was hard for you to get through because you were so small. So mom or dad would walk ahead of you and they would put out those footprints. And they'd create a path for you. And that path was there so that you could follow along and try and step in every step that they left behind for you. Well, that is exactly what Christ did for us on this earth and through His Word. He set this path of footprints for us so that we could follow and emulate the life that He's called us to be. It's not going to be perfect ever. We're never going to be in every footstep perfectly, but tomorrow, I should be more in line with the path Christ has called me to than I am today. A week from now, I should be more in line with those steps than I am tomorrow. A year from now, that should never stop. Paul talks about this. He says there comes a point when it's time to get off spiritual milk and get some spiritual meat. And that is what Paul is praying for this church. And that's what we should be praying for with each other, that we grow together. That we be sanctified together, that we all emulate Christ together. We should want this for each other. Not only does God expect His people to function together in this way, He expects them to care for each other. He expects Talitha to care for each other, to encourage one another, to pray for one another. And this is why the local church is so important. It's why it's so important for the life of the Christian. Like Paul, let's encourage each other to be who Christ has called us to be. Let us pray for spiritual growth. Let us work together to fulfill the great commission that Christ has called us to. And before we close, I wanted to take a minute and I wanted to just do for you what Paul has done for the church at Philippi And I wanted to just encourage this church and the things that you have been so good at. This church is generous. This church is so willing to give their time, give their money, give their materials, whatever they can give when a need arises. This church is so good and gracious with their generosity. Laura and I have experienced this firsthand. I'm sure every member in here can say that they've experienced this firsthand with this congregation. You guys are hospitable. I've been in a lot of your homes at this point, and there's not been one time that I wasn't welcomed in joyfully and gladly with love and with care. This church is prayerful. We meet every single Wednesday night, three Wednesdays out of the month, and we pray for each other. And we share the needs of this congregation, and every need that's shared gets prayed for. And we have a prayer tree and texts and calls going out all throughout the week, letting each other know what need has arisen in this congregation. And then we pray for it. This church values the authority of Scripture. There's been times, the few times that I've preached, and I'm sure Jordan could say he's experienced this as well. After a sermon, there's been times when some of you have come up to me and said, the point of that passage kind of stepped on my toes a bit, but I needed that. That humility is a respect for the authority of Scripture. I mean, the fact that we have a Sunday night service shows that this church loves Scripture. There are many churches I've grown up in and been a part of where Sunday night ends up getting canceled because the pastor and the deacons are the only ones that were showing up. But this room is full right now. You guys love Scripture. This church is Christ-like. I've said this before. I've never been a part of a congregation that is so Christ-like, so loving. I tell my parents about the kindness of this church and the Christ-likeness of this church. And my dad, who's a pastor, who's grown up in churches, he tells me, he says, this is, you know, what you're telling us isn't normal. It's not his experience. you guys are weirdos. And most of you know, Laura's family not being believers. I had a conversation with her dad over Christmas break, and he said, Julie, Laura's mom, he said, Julie and I are so thankful that you guys are taken care of, that you have a people group around you, a community around you who's going to meet needs that we can't meet because we're so far away. And that just speaks the gospel to her family. Someone in another country, the Christ-likeness of this church has done that. And then one last thing I have here, this church is good at gospel sharing. Just like when we meet for a prayer meeting, part of that prayer meeting has been, Jordan will ask, who have you shared the gospel with? Who have you invited to church? And every time there are multiple people who have stories about people who they got to share the gospel with that week and who they got to invite to church. And I have never seen that in a congregation like this, a group of people so willing to share the gospel with others, people who don't know Christ, because you genuinely want them added to God's kingdom. So be encouraged. Be encouraged in those things that this church is a blessing. This church loves Jesus, and it shows. And I'm thankful to be a part of it. I'm thankful to have my family here. And I look forward to all the days that Christ will have us here. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage of encouragement, this passage of unity. I pray that we would leave this place more encouraged and convicted to fulfill your great commission together. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.